This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Right, so let's get on with the Gemara. We've actually got a very exciting piece of Gemara today that we need to work through, and a little bit complex, but we'll try and work our way through it. You'll have an opportunity to review it, and then perhaps I'll summarize it again at the beginning of next week. What we're going to be exploring is the equation, really, which the Gemara has given to us so far, and that is the equation that is core to this whole sugya. Is when the Gemara said in the middle of Gimel Amud Beis, "Hachi hashta avia mekabel kiddushel inosati liish hazeh ve'ihi shaklo kaspo." So that phrase, do you think it's possible that is there any possibility that the father is the authority, the owner of the kiddushin, and she gets the revenue? That's not possible. So we established at that point that the owner gets the revenue. It's not possible to be an owner and be deprived of any revenue that comes from that ownership, because then that ownership would be meaningless. So that part of the equation we've got clear. If you're an owner, you must be the person who gets the benefit of revenue. What we're going to look at today is the possibility of the reverse. Does that also mean that whoever gets the benefit of the revenue must be an owner? There's no way to get revenue from an asset unless you own that asset. So that's in further exploring, therefore, that relationship between income and ownership, we're going to be looking at the converse of the equation that the Gemara has given us. So once again, the Gemara has given us an equation. Hachi hashta, is it possible that the father is the owner of Kiddushin and she gets the money? That's not even a possibility. What we want to look at today is the reverse side. And in so doing, we're going to be evolving two different shittas in the Rishonim. And here we're going to be using something that I've called the ability to hold parallel cognitive structures in mind, which is so key to Gemara learning. And I've argued, and you've probably heard it on the website, that's really what one of the capabilities that young kids have today, that they've got from the way they manage technology and particularly the internet, the ability to be thinking along more than one track at a time, which is something that academically trained people in traditional academics find very difficult. A more linear system, a more structured way of thinking requires that you go from A to Z first, get to the end of it, and then your other track, but not so in technology and not so in Gemara. In Gemara, it's important for us sometimes to be able to be holding two different tracks in our mind simultaneously, and the human brain can do that, and it's a capability that we develop in Gemara learning. And we're going to be doing that today, because what I'm going to try and do with you today is develop two different shittas in the Gemara. The one is Tosfos, and Rashi seems to go the same way as Tosfos. And the other is a shita of the Talmud Harashbo and of the Ritvo. I'm going to be quoting a little piece of the Talmud Harashbo to you, and unfortunately I didn't have a chance to send it to you because I was really only working in detail on it last night and this morning. But I will send it to you so that you can review it during the week. But today I'll just refer to it. If any of you have the Kovetz Meforshim that Mr. Reuven Chapman suggested we get, then it's in there, and I'll refer you to it. Otherwise, we'll just quote it outside. We'll also need the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Mem Vav. So if you can have that handy, if you do, that's great. If not, we'll refer to it. But that's the piece of Gemara that I did scan to you. That's Ksubas Mem Vav Amud Beis, which is the parallel piece of Gemara. So in a sense, there are three parallel structures we're going to keep in our mind. There's the same piece of Gemara that appears in Kiddushin and Ksubas. The reason we need the one in Ksubas is not because of the very minute differences in the text, but because there are some Tosfos on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis and Ksubas that do not appear in Kiddushin but are relevant to Kiddushin. So we've got those two parallel structures going in our minds. And then we're going to be evolving two theories. The theory of the Talmud Harashbo and the Ritvo is the one school of thought, and the theory of Rashi and Tosfos as the other school of thought, and we're going to be learning the Gemara simultaneously according to both of them. At the end of it, we're going to use our understanding of those two shittas to answer a kasha of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And I just want to say, even by way of preface, that when we answer a kasha of Rabbi Kiva Eger, we have to do so with great humility and understand that clearly there is a reason why Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't learn the way we're learning. So you'll often find that the Acharonim do attempt to answer his kashas, and we're certainly going to attempt to explain the Gemara in such a way that his question is not so troubling, but clearly there are reasons for which he wouldn't learn this way. And sometimes if you really are making a study of Rabbi Kiva Eger, you'll go into it deeper and reveal the reasons why the way you're suggesting to learn doesn't work. And sometimes you'll just leave it and say, Rabbi Kiva Eger asked a kasha. The way we've learned the Gemara, that isn't a kasha. So we don't have to be troubled by his kasha. He's learning on a level that we are not. And he understands or sees things that we do not, so we can move on with it. And we'll see that as we move forward. So again, two schools of thought. We're going to go through them. Two schools of thought around this matter of the equation between ownership and revenue, the benefit of revenue, and use those two schools of thoughts to deal with an issue that Rabbi Kiva Eger raises. So let's start and work through the Gemara, starting from the middle of Gimel Amud Beis again, where we're trying to work out how do we know, and the Gemara started off just with a straightforward question, how do we know, A, that how do we know that kesef works? And B, how do we know kesef da avuahu? How do we know that the father gets the money? And then our primary source is Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, who learns it from v'yotzo chinom ein kosef ein kesef la'adoin ze aval yesh kesef la'adoin acher. When a young girl achieves narus and leaves the authority of an adoin, he gets no money. It's repeated again that he gets no money. That second repetition is to emphasize it's he who gets no money. But when a young girl is taken out of the authority of her other adoin, which is her father, by means of kiddushin, he, the father, does get money. Asks the Gemara, but that could be well talking about a ketana, because a ketana doesn't have a yad. She doesn't have legal capacity, so it makes sense that the father is the acts on her behalf, and he does the kiddushin, and he gets the money. It's as if he were her. But what about Naro? The Gemara in Kesubas clearly says that in the case of Naro too, a father can be Mekadesh, and a father gets the money. What is the source for that? So the Gemara says the source for that is Omar Kro, Bin Ureo Beis Avio. When she is a Naro in her father's house, why does it have to say Beis Aviho? Just the fact that she's a Naro is all that we need to know. What does Beis Aviho tell us? Kol Shvach Nurim LaAviho, that any revenue she achieves, any money she makes as a Naro, belongs to the father. And Rashi says on that, Bin Ureo Beis Aviho, about the fourth or fifth, last line of the thin lines of Rashi, Hachi Dorishlo, calls man shibin ureho, for so long as she is a naro, that's from 12 to 12 and a half, he shall avio. She belongs to her father. What does that mean? The chol shvach habolo la aviohu, that whatever shvach, whatever revenue comes to her in her state of narus belongs to the father. That's where we learn it from. And although we're going to remove this, we're going to move away from this as the source. There's quite a lot that we need to understand for the time that we stay here, that we're standing in this place, being the source. So what are we saying really? What about a naro? What is the Gemara really asking? A naro is a gedoilo as far as her legal capacity is concerned. So her mekach is a mekach, says Rashi, and her memkar is a memkar. She has the ability to buy and she has the ability to sell. She has legal capacity, which seem to imply that she can be an owner. And yet the Torah says, Kol shvach l'nureho l'avio. So is this not then a case of where the father is getting a financial benefit of a right that actually belongs to his daughter? That's how we could be learning the kasher of the Gemara. So what is the Gemara saying? where do we know from that? Because there are two things worrying us. How do we know that she, the girl, does the kiddushin? How do we know that the father gets the money? Binurel Beis Avil tells us that the father gets the money. So we've got that. How does that tell us that the father does the kiddushin of a naira? Because that was also one of our questions. So we must say that they're still linked. In other words, that equation, that linkage that we had earlier of hachi hashto, Avil mekabel kiddusheho, ve'ihi shakl kasbo, is it possible that he gets the benefit, that he has the ownership and she gets the money? We must be able to reverse that formula as well and say, is it possible that he gets the money and she does the kiddushin? We must hold, it would seem clear from this, from the Gemara's attempt to learn from Bin Ureo Beis Aviho, that a girl can, that a father can be Mekadesh his daughter and he gets the money, we must say that the linkage between the financial income and the ownership is absolute. That wherever there's ownership, there's financial revenue, and wherever there's financial revenue, there's ownership. The two are absolutely inextricably linked. So just as we could say, when we knew that the father was the owner of the Kiddushin, we assumed that he got the money. So from Bin Ureo Beis Aviho, we now know that he gets the money. We must assume that he is the owner of the Kiddushin and he can be Mekadesha. That surely is the way to learn. If we learn that way, then the difficulty that we have is in the Talmid HaRashbo. Because the Talmid HaRashbo asks a question, and I'm going to read you the question. Again, those of you who have the Kovetz Meforshim, you'll find the Talmid HaRashbo after the Meiri. And it's on Amud Zayin. Of the section on the Talmud HaRashbo, but if you don't have it, don't worry. I'm going to read the question, translate it, and then paraphrase it. Asks the Talmud HaRashbo, Akati Nemo Ihi Takdish Nafsho V'Ihu Yishkol Kasbo. I don't understand, says the Talmud HaRashbo, how you know from this posuk of Bin Ureho Beis Aviho that the father can be Mekadesh the girl. I do understand that he gets the money. But who says that also gives him the right to be Mekadesh the girl? The Homishvachen Urim lo matzi l'ribuye elo kaspo, aval l'kabel kiddushe halo. Because all we can learn from Bin Ureho Beis Aviho is that the father gets the money, but it tells us nothing about his right to be Mekadesh. So clearly the Talmid HaRashbo is not learning the way I learned a few moments ago. A few moments ago, I assumed from the Gemara, since the Gemara seemed to be assuming that if he gets the money from the Kiddushin of Anara, and he gets the money because of the posuk, Shkol Shvach Nureo Laviho, because of Nureo Beis Aviho, we assume that if he gets the money, he also has the ownership. No, says the Talmid HaRashbo. I don't know at all that he has the ownership. I know that he gets the money. But where do I know from that he gets the ownership? So the Talmid HaRashbo de-links the ownership and the financial revenue. It's true, as we learned earlier, that if you're the owner, you get the financial revenue. But not every case of financial revenue is because you're the owner. There can also be other reasons for getting the financial revenue. And the Talmid HaRashbo wants to say, maybe this is one of those cases, that he gets the revenue because it's the same as he gets Maaseh Yodeo, the same as she can go to work and the benefits of that work go to him. So here too, she can perhaps be Mekadesh herself, but the benefits of that act of Kiddushin would accrue to him because of Kol Shvach Nureo La'aviho, so it kind of gets funneled off to him, but not because he is necessarily the owner. So let's have a look at the answer of the Talmid HaRashbo, where he gives a fascinating answer. V'yesh lo'emar, kabolas kiddusheho lo itzrich. I actually don't need a posuk to tell me that the father can be Mekadesh the girl. I know that. How do I know that? The kivan de le'inyan nedorim, ukmerachmono birushusa de'av, shiyochel lo isro, in the parsha of nedorim, in which this very posuk of Bin Ureo Beis Aviho falls, we learn that the father has the rights of Nedorim over his daughter even when she's a Naira. So what he can assure her, he can make a neder that binds her. And so theoretically, he could assure her, he could forbid her on anybody. And since he has that right, hachinami yochel le'oisro b'kidusheho sheyekabel ba'avuro. So clearly he has the right, using principles of Nedorim, he has the right to assure her using Kiddushin. So the Talmid Ashba is saying an amazing thing, if you just think of it for a moment, particularly in light of some of the Gemara we learned a while back. And that is that Kiddushin is in Kiddushin there is an element of Neder. Do you remember right in the very beginning we explored that? Is it possible that in Kiddushin, which is such an unusual kind of kinyan, it's a kinyan that needs a formula. Normally a verbal formula, is restricted to Neder. There's a way to make a neder. There's a formula. You've got to recite it and you've got to say it correctly. In the case of kinyonim, you don't have to say anything. You have to do. There's an action. When it comes to kiddushin, there's both a formula and an action of kinyon. And we explored, is there an element of nedorim? That the one part of kiddushin is you're forbidden to everybody else. The other part of kiddushin is there is a certain right in you that belongs to me that I have now acquired. So there are two things going on here. Normally, if I acquire something, it doesn't create isur for everybody else. If I acquire something, it's not forbidden for you to get hanoah from it. There are certain rights that I have and that you have to get permission from me, but it's not a matter of isur. It's a matter of ownership. But in the case of kiddushin, there is isur. There's the isur of arayis. You become an eshes ish. So my verbal enunciation of the words Harei At Mekudeshes creates an isur on you, just as it does in the case of Nedorim. So there's an element of Nedorim. Says the Talmid Harashbo, since a father has a right to assur his daughter to the world by means of Nedorim, he has the right to do the same by means of Kiddushin. The Neder part of Kiddushin is his got. What we don't know about is the ownership part, is the financial part. That we learn from Binurel Beis Aviho, from the addition of that posuk, we learn that the money flows to him as well. That's how the Talmid Harashbo answers it. V'chi itzrich kro, the kaspohu di itzrich. The only thing we need a posuk for is to tell us about the money. But the fact that the father can do it, that's obvious. So how does it come out according to the Talmid Harashbo? It comes out the father can be mekadesh his daughter who is a naro midin nedorim. Just following the laws of Nedorim. What about, does that mean she can be Mekadesh herself too? Yes, it does. So according to the Talmid Harashbo, this is not the father who owns the rights to the Kiddushin. He does not own the rights to the Kiddushin. She owns the rights to the Kiddushin. And she can be Mekadesh herself. However, any money that would come from her being Mekadesh herself would go to her father. Why? Because of Nu'ureho Beisavio. There's a gzeras hakosuv that anything that she earns as a naro goes to the father. So she earns it. It's her action. The same as if she goes out to work, she earns the money from the kiddushin. There's a husband who gives her the golden ring at the time of kiddushin. She earns it, but it belongs to the father because of the gzeras hakosuv. Can the father be mekadesh the girl? Yes, the father can also be mekadesh the girl because he has rights over nedorim. He has the right to assur her. So that's how the Talmid Harashbo would learn this piece. And this really leads us directly into a kasha that Tosfos asks in Kesubos. But before we do that, let's learn a little bit further in the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, Ve'elahod omaravuna omarav minayin shumase habas lahav. But I don't understand this, says the Gemara. If you want to say that from the Ureho Beis Aviho we learn that anything that a Naro earns goes to her father, then why does Rav Huna Omar Rav teach us that the source for the fact that Shemasi Yodeo of the Bas, that any income derived from the labor of the Naro goes to the father, one would expect him to say, you learn it from the Ureho Beis Aviho, but he doesn't. He says, Shuneemar, if a man should sell his daughter as an amo, and it doesn't really have to say as an amo, that's an extra word. It could just say, if a man sells his daughter, of course she's an amo if he sells her. So what is the amo? to teach us that, that from the juxtaposition of Bito and Amo, that there is a similarity that he's transferring to the owner of the Amo the rights which he had as a father. What rights are those? Ma Amo Masi Odeh L'Rabo, I'm giving you my daughter's labor. Clearly, if I'm giving you my daughter's labor, I owned it before. Afpat Nami Masi Odeh L'Avia, when she was my daughter, before I sold her to you, I was the owner of her Masi Yodayim. I got the benefit of her labor. I'm now transferring the rights of that benefit to her labor to you, the owner of the Amo. So that's where we learn from that a father has rights to the labor of a girl. Asks the Gemara, Tepuk le mibin ureo beis avio. Why don't we learn it from the ureo beis avio? Elo, clearly there's a simple reason why we don't. Because the ureo beis avio is talking about haforos nadorim hu dichtiv. That comes from parshas nadorim. And we can't learn from nadorim. Hachinami b'haforos nadorim hu dichtiv. So if Rav Huna Omar Rav wasn't willing to learn that Masi Yodeho, that the labor of a Nara belongs to the father, if he wasn't willing to learn that from the Dorim, then why should we learn that the money that comes out of Kiddushin belongs to the father? Why should we learn that from the Dorim? Clearly we can't learn these things from the Dorim. The Chitema Nelef Mina, and if you want to say, well, yes, let's in fact learn from it. Mamoina mi Yisura lo yalfinin. We have a principle that you cannot learn Mamoin from Isur. The rules that govern Isur are completely different from the rules that govern Mamon. Mamon is governed by laws of ownership. Isur are governed by a different system altogether. It has nothing to do with ownership. And so we cannot learn the laws of Mamon, any kind of financial laws, we cannot learn from the laws of ownership, from the laws of Isur. And the Dorim are areas of Isur. And so clearly, Nureo Beis Avia is not a valid source from which to learn that the father has the financial rights to the benefits of the Kiddushin, because we can't learn financial rights from the Dorim. So we're left again with a problem. How do we know that the father of a Nara gets the Kiddushin, gets the financial? How do we know that he can be Mekadesha, and how do we know that he gets the financial benefit of it? That's the where we get to with the Gemara up till now. Now, if you look at your Gemara in Ksuvis, and we see the Tosis that I'm referring to, back to Memvov and Mudbezon in Ksuvis, the Tosis that starts Mamoina mi Sura lo yalfinen, a little bit more than halfway down the page, Ve'im Tomar asks Tosis, Neilaf mehaforus nodorim da'avia yochol lekatshe, da'hainu isuru mi isura. Let's learn, forget about the financial rights, let's just learn from Nadorim that the father has the right to be Mekadesha because of Nu'ureho Beis Avio. Since she's Nu'ureho Beis Avio, Tosva says, what do we see from there that he has, that she belongs to him, that he has rights? Let's use that posuk just to learn the rights of the father to be Mekadesh. Or we could learn it like the Talmid Harashbo. And this is what I want to suggest to you, that Tosfos in his question is assuming the learning of the Talmud HaRashbo. And that the Talmud HaRashbo said, if you remember, we don't need a posuk to tell us, we don't need an extra posuk to tell us that the father can be Mekadesh his daughter. The father can be Mekadesh his daughter because he has rights of Nadorim over her. This is part of Hilchus Nadorim. It's an extension of principles of Nadorim. If I can assert my daughter to the entire world, I can certainly assert to the entire world bar one, which is her husband. It's less of Isur. So clearly I can be Mekadesh if I have the rights of Nadorim over her. I certainly have the ability to be Mekadesh. And now that I can learn, says Tosfos, because that's Isur from Isur. That's no problem. And now that I know that the father can be Mekadesha, the Kasper Davil, now I can extrapolate from that the father must get the money. Now we can use the very same formula that we had earlier on. If he is the owner of the Kiddushin, if he is master of the Kiddushin, and how do we know that? If he's master of her Nadorim, he's master of Kiddushin as well. If he's the master of Kiddushin, clearly he gets the money. So let me learn it from there. It's a brilliant kasha of Tosfos. We can still learn the whole thing from Nadorim. We'll learn the ability of the father to be Mekadesh her will learn from his rights of Nedarim over her. That's Isu from Isu. And the consequence of that, using the formula of the Gemara early on, is if he has the ownership of the rights to be Mekadisha, he also has the rights to receive the Momin, to receive any money that derives from the transfer from that transaction. So that's beautiful according to the Talmid Arashbo. That's exactly what the Talmid Arashbo says. Answers Tosfos v'yesh lomar. De isura de isbe mamoina mi isura de lesbe mamoina lo yalfinan. Isur that has a monetary component cannot be learnt from isur that does not have a monetary component. So Tosfos is mechadish here, an extension of the principle of mamoina mi isura lo yalfinan. That's a universal principle. Mamoina mi isura lo yalfinan. You cannot learn principles of mamon from principles of isur. Tosfos goes further and says, even isur from isur you cannot learn if one of them has an element of money. The element of money puts it into a different category. Now let's understand Tosfos' answer a little bit further and say it's not just that there's an element of money. That wouldn't be the problem. What Tosfos must be telling us is that in the case of Kiddushin, the transactional component is primary to the whole thing. It's not a matter of this is Isser and this is Isser, and as a result of the Isser, there's some kind of monetary consequence. That wouldn't stop our ability to learn the way Tosfos suggests in his question. What stops our ability to learn that way is that Kesef is core to this Isser. So what's happening here in Tosfos' kasha and answer is an analysis around cause and effect as far as Kiddushin is concerned. And again, this is something we explored, and I'll take you back to it in a moment on Daf Beis. Which is the cause and which is the effect? Is there a financial transaction which results in Isur? I, the husband, acquire rights in my kala. The result of those rights that I have acquired makes her Osur and everybody else. Or is it the other way around? I cannot acquire rights to a woman who is not Osur to everybody else. So I kind of first have to make her Osur to everybody else. And then it might happen simultaneously, but it's kind of, this is the cause and this is the effect. She needs to become also to everybody else for my kinyan to be chal. My kinyan won't work if she's available to everybody else. Which way around is it? So in the question of Tosfos, he's assuming that this is primarily a matter of Isur and Nedarim, just as the Talmud Harashbo says. So you can asa the girl, you can asa the Naro, the father can asa the Naro, the husband can, with the kala's acquiescence, forbid her on everybody else. Once that's happened, there's a financial outcome. In that case, this Tosfos, let me learn it all from the Dorim. I'll learn the Neder piece from the Dorim, the Isur piece I'll learn from the Dorim, and the financial piece is an outcome. Notice this Tosfos, it's the other way around. The Isur piece is an outcome of the financial piece. First comes the Kinyan. I acquire her, and that acquisition makes her also to the rest of the world. And that's why I cannot learn it from the Dorim. Because Isur that is founded on principles of Momon cannot be learned from pure Isur that follows different rules and altogether. Now, I would like you to look back at a Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Beis, where you'll... I might remember we spent a little bit of time on it. That's the second Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Beis, where Tosfos went into the whole meaning of the word of Kiddushin, the Osa lo akula alma kehekdesh. And that's where we really started exploring, is there a neder kind of component in all of this? And Tosfos explained there two different understandings of the term mekudeshes. Vahare at mekudesh sli, says Tosfos. Kloima, what does it mean when a man says hare at mekudesh sli? Kloima, that means lihiyos li mekudeshes la'ilom bishvili kemoi hare hein mekudoshin la'shamayim lihiyos la'shamayim. Just as when a person wants to make hekdesh, and hekdesh is like a kind of a neder, where my words impose isurim. So if I say hekdesh, I say this object is dedicated to Shemayim, which means nobody but Shemayim, nobody but the Beis HaMikdash, has any rights of ownership on this, or can have any benefit from it. So by dedicating it to one specific authority, being the Beis HaMikdash, I am as a result making it forbidden to everybody else. That's what Harei At Mekudeshes means. You are dedicated to me, using a method similar to Hekdesh. And that's why we use the word Mekudeshes. And the outcome of that is you're also to everybody else. That's one way of understanding Harayat Mekudeshesli. The other way of understanding it is Pashta de Milta. The Poshita way is Mekudeshesli Meyuchedesli Umzumenesli. Mekudeshes means you are mine. Not you are forbidden to everybody else, but you are mine. Tosfos even has a havamina that you could say that about an object, about a tangible object. You could say, this talis is mekudeshes to me. The gabi ishu b'mad misyachedes liyidus loy hine seres lacho. It won't work with a talis, because with a woman, by her becoming exclusive to one man, she then becomes also to the rest of the world. Do you see the order of things in the second view of Tosfos? First, she becomes mine. How does she become mine? She actually becomes mine by means of a kinyan. And you remember we learned in Reb Baruch Ber that the reason that he has to say the words is just to clarify his intention, because there's a gzeras hakosuv that it has to be enunciated. The intention, the das, has to be very clear. But that's all a part of the kinyan. The kinyan is, I am acquiring rights of exclusivity. The outcome of that is, nobody else can have any rights in you. That's Tosfos' second view. Tosfos' first view is the other way around. This is Mekudesh L'Shamayim. This is forbidden to everybody but Shamayim, using almost a method of Nidori. Now, Tosfos, in Ksubis, on Daf Mem Vav, the Tosfos we've just learned, starts off with the first view of this Tosfos on Daf Beis. That is, Tosfos starts off thinking that Kiddushin is primarily Isra. And once the Isra has been established, once she's also to the rest of the world, I can acquire rights in her. And that's why Tosfos wanted to learn Isra from Isra. And in Tosfos' answer, he goes like the second view on Tosfos Daf Beis. And Tosfos holds, in the second view, no, the essence of it is a financial acquisition, the consequence of which is Isra. And therefore, since it's rooted in a financial transaction, I cannot learn Isu sheyesh bo mamayna, Isu that has a financial basis, I cannot learn from something which is pure Isu. The Talmid HaRashbo learns according to Tosfos' first way, the question way. So the Talmid HaRashbo holds that Kiddushin is a matter of neder, and that's why the father of a Naro can be Mekadesher. Tosfos is quite right in his question, says the Talmid HaRashbo. We don't need a posuk for that. The father of the Naro can be Mekadesher. What we need a posuk is to know that the money comes to the father. Tosfos says, I don't need a posuk to know that the money comes to the father. If the father can be Mekadesher, of course he gets the money. So now, what is the essential difference then between Tosfos and the Talmid HaRashbo? Tosfos holds that the formula works both ways. If the father can be Mekadesh, he gets the money. If the father gets the money, he's the Mekadesh. He's the owner of the rights to be Mekadesh. According to the Talmid HaRashbo, no. It works the one way. If a person owns something, they get the financial benefits of it. But it's possible for them to get the financial benefits without being the owner. And therefore, the Talmid HaRashbo learns the father is not the owner of the rights of Kiddushin of Anara. He is the owner of the rights of Kiddushin of a Ketano, but not the owner of the rights of Kiddushin of a Naro. However, he gets the revenue from that. Even though she is the owner of those rights, he gets the revenue. That's how the Talmid HaRashbo would be learning. Let's go a step further. Let's follow the Gemara through now. Back in Kiddushin, the next piece of Gemara goes very well according to the Talmid HaRashbo. So let's take the Gemara further. What does the Gemara want to say now? So we can't learn from Binur El Beis Avir. So we still have no source for the law that a father gets the financial benefit of the Kiddushin of his daughter who is a Naro, nor that he can be Mekadesh a Naro. Ask the Gemara. Let's learn from Knas. What is the case of Knas? Says Rashi. Let's learn Kesef Kiddusheho. That's in the fifth line of Rashi. V'chitem a nail of Kesef Kiddusheho mi Kesef Knaso. let's learn that the kesef kiddushin goes to the father from kesef knas. She'ones with pitri la'avir chamishim kesef, because the father gets the chamishim kesef of knas of a girl who is seduced or raped. The father gets the kiddushin, but who's been raped? The girl has, not the father. So since the father gets the knas, you see, and now again, learning that the Talmid HaRashba, it's beautiful, because what the Gemara is trying to say, so you see there's a case where although the girl is the owner, the father gets the benefit. So here too, just as the father gets the knas, even though it's the girl who was raped, so where the girl is mekudeshes, the father gets the revenue. Answers the Gemara, that would be fine, except mamoina miknaso lo yalfinan. Just as you don't learn momin from isur, you don't learn momin from knas. Because knas is not a logical balance of compensation. I gave you A, you give me B. Knas is a punishment. It's like the area of isurin. It's a form of punishment. And who gets the benefit? It's not necessary that the owner of the damaged item gets the knas that the person who caused the damage has to pay. Because it's not compensation. If it were compensation, it would have to go to the person damaged. But if it's a knas, it's a fine, just like in our law. If there's a knas, the knas goes to the government. In secular law, if there's a fine to be paid, the fine goes to the government. So if you're sitting in occupying a parking space, let's say I have a loading zone outside my store, and you're parked in my loading zone, and that causes me nezek. As a result of that, my trucks can't stop at the loading zone, and they can't unload. You get a knas, you get a ticket. And who do you pay that knas to? Not to me who's been damaged, that's a separate issue. If I want to sue you for damages, that's a separate issue. But you get a knas, the knas goes to the government. So yeah, the fact that the knas goes to the father gives us no indication of the fact that the father might also get momen in the case of a girl. So we can't learn from there. So then let's learn from Bosh Yusuf Gam. Again, in the case of any kind of rape, there's boshes ubegam. Boshes is the shame that is suffered, the loss of reputation, and pegam also is the damage, the reputational damage that is caused. The boshes is more the pain of shame, and pegam is the consequence of loss of reputation, and that belongs to the father, and it's not knas. So once again, we see that although it's the girl who has suffered the shame, it's the father who gets the money. So here too, let's learn that even if a girl, a naro, gets kiddushin, it's the father who actually gets the benefit of that. Says the Gemara, Shani boshes ufgam de avu ashayach begavayu. Now, you can't learn from boshes ufgam because the father has some of that ownership. And there are two different ways of learning that. Rashi's way of learning that is because the father has some financial ownership in her boshes of gam, because he has the rights to give her away to a disgusting person. And that will cause her boshes and pegam. And he can be paid, he can be compensated for that. So if a disgusting person wants to marry her, he can say, that's fine, I'll let you marry my daughter, but you'll be causing boshes of gam, so I'm going to be charging you an amount for that. You're going to have to compensate me for that boshes of gam. So the father has the ability, theoretically, to gain financial benefit from her boshes of gam, from her pride, from selling her pride, basically. So her pride, therefore, belongs in part to the father, too. And you can't learn from there anything about Kiddushin. The reason that the father gets the boshes of gam, says Rashi, is because the father has a financial interest in the boshes of gam. The Ramban has a slightly different girsa in the Gemara and learns it a little bit differently, and he learns that the father suffers boshes of gam as well. It's not just that he can trade in her pride. He suffers loss of pride when the daughter is raped. And that's why he gets the boshes of gam. Either way, whether you learn like Rashi or like the Ramban, the fact is that the reason that the father gets financial revenue is because he is owner. He is in part owner of that, of the rights to that revenue. And we can learn nothing from there to Kiddushin, where we don't know that he's an owner at all. And if he's not an owner, once again, maybe she can be Mekadesh herself, and maybe he does not get the money. Maybe she gets the money and she can be Mekadesh herself. So Let us go further then. So the Gemara says, Elo Mistavro. Let us go right back to the very beginning. What did we say the original Pasuk was to learn from? It was V'yotzo chinom en kosef, en kesef la'adu in ze, aval yesh kesef la'adu in acher, umani u'av. But when a girl leaves the authority of an adoin, there is no financial transaction. There's no money that changes hands when she leaves because she's become a naro. However, when she leaves the authority of her father, there is money that changes hands. So we said, but who says that the money that changes hands goes to the father? Maybe it goes to her. So we said, no, but the father has the right. But it's in a case of a ktana. But what happens in the case of a naro? Who says that it goes to her? Answered the Gemara, Dechiko Mamayit Yitzio de Kavoso Kamamais. When we're excluding and saying it's only this owner that gets no money, but there's another owner that does get money, the two examples must be parallel. And Rashi explains, let's have a look at Rashi, Yitzias Erusin Dumya de Yitzias Amo. We must be talking about parallel immersions from. Parallel emergences from authority in the case of Amo and in the case of Bas. Demitzis Amo Kamamait, Midin Amo, will remember the Yesh Kesef Bo, Umayitzis Amo Ha'ivrio En Kesef La'adoin, Denafko Mirushuse Keomakro. And just as in the case of Amo, what the Torah is telling us, that there is no money due to the owner, to the Odoin, Afmiut, also the exclusion, the Yesh Kesef. This exclusion which teaches us, but in another case of emergence from the authority of a master, there is money, the Kodaik Yitzias Erusin, which we learn about for the emergence into Erusin, Yesh Kesef Lemi Shiyotz Ohemenu, there should be money owed to the one from whom she has emerged, Ka'ama, that's what the Pasuk says, Bahainu Av, and that is the father. So we don't just learn that there's money that is passed. We learn that just as in the case of an Amo going free when she becomes a Naro, there is no payment of money to the Odoin, but in the other case of emergence, that is of a young girl going out through Kiddushin, there is money paid to the Odoin. Who is the Odoin? It is the father. So we see that money is paid to the father. Now, if we learn Tosfos' way, that if the money is paid to the father, then of course we know that the father is the owner of the rights. Then we've learned the whole thing. Then we've learned, since I now know that the father gets the benefit of the money, clearly the father also has the right to be Mekadesh the girl. But if I don't have that equation, if I say like the Talmud HaRashba, no, it's possible that the father gets the benefits of the money, but does not have the ownership of the rights to be Mekadesh her, then where do I learn from that he has the rights to be Mekadesh her? So we might stay, according to the Talmud HaRashba, we might stay with what he originally said, according to the Talmud HaRashba. You learn that from the Dorim. That piece you can learn from the Dorim. The only piece you can't learn from the Dorim is that she gets the money, that the father gets the money. That we need a pasuk for, and we learn that from V'yotzo Chinom En Kosef. But let's just go into this a little bit more deeply. Let's look back at the Gemara in Tosfos in Kesuvos, at the next Tosfos, Yitzio de Kavoso Kamamayit. Tosfos starts off quoting Rashi, and I don't want to go into that because we'll need the Tosfos on our page before we do, but I want to look at Tosfos' Kasha, which is the third line of that Tosfos, Ve'en Nire, the Akati Tiksha, Ve'emo Lidido. A little bit further. Vahashta, Kivan de Sham Inon Me Haikro. Now that we know from this Pasuk, says Tosfos in his second last line, since we now know from this Pasuk that the money goes to the father, de Kaspu de Avio, Havi, Svoruhu, de Iunami Mekabel, then it is perfectly logical to say that he is the owner of the right to be Mekadesha. So Tosfos in Kiddushin is saying clearly, the equation works both ways. Just as we said earlier, if she can be Mekadesh herself, if the father can be Mekadesh, the father must be the recipient of the money. So the other way around, if the father is recipient, he must be able to be Mekadesh. So that's what we're learning over here. The father, as recipient of the money, is the owner of the right to be Mekadesh. That's how Tosfos learns, which means only the father can be Mekadesh. The Naro herself cannot be Mekadesh herself because her father owns those rights. If the father gets the money, she can be Mekadesh herself. Clearly not. That doesn't work. So that's how Tosfos is. Tosfos learns the equation both ways. It's here that Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks his question. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question is, how does Tosfos know that? Perhaps she owns the rights, and the father gets the money as he does with Maase Yodeha. Where does Tosfos get it from? Once we know the whole idea of Nureo Beis Avio, or we know the idea of Maase Yodeha La'Avio, which we can learn from V'chiyimko Ishes Bitri La'ama, once we know that a father has the right to the revenue that a girl earns from her own work, maybe she can be Mekadesh herself the way the Talmid HaRashba actually learns, and the money goes to the father. How is Tosfos so sure that the equation works both ways after we've specifically learned that there is a case where a father gets the rights to the girl's to the girl's revenue? So let's look at that again. We know that there's a principle. A girl can go out to work, the father gets the money. Surely we can extend that principle off Rabbi Akiva Eiger and say a girl can be Mekadesh herself, the father gets the money as part of a Maase Yodeha. It's part of her income. She sold something, she's worked, she's traded. And the benefits of her trading is like her labor. And that should go to the father, not because the father owns the rights, but because the father gets the revenue because of the Gezeras HaKosuv of Maase Yodeha. Maybe that's what it means. But the way we've learned is this is really two completely different ways of understanding. If you're going to go the way of the Talmid HaRashba, I'm going to rush through it a little bit now so that because we'll run short of time, and I'll review it and work it again next week. But if we're going to learn like the Talmid HaRashba, we've got to say that what happens is that the girl gets the money, and then the father gets it. In other words, the girl, since the girl has the ownership of Kiddushin, she kind of gets the money first. And it's hers for a moment, and then it's transferred to the father. That's how it must work in order to be able to separate the two out and say, the rights to be Mekadesh are hers, the benefit goes to the father. And the reason that would work would be the same as Matona Amanas Lahachzir. Even though you can give a woman a gift, you can give her a gold ring, and you can say, I'm giving you this gold ring on condition you give it back to me after the wedding, Midoraisa, that's a good Kiddushin. During the time that she's holding it, it's hers. She then has to give it back. That's a different issue. So she doesn't have to have permanent ownership of it. In the same way here, the young girl, the Naro, is Mekadeshes herself. She gets ownership of the money, and this is immediately passed on to the father. That moment of ownership is enough to make the Kiddushin Chal, but she can't use that money. She's got to give that money to her father, just as she's got to give the money she earns from labor to her father. That's how the Talmid HaRashba works. The Tosfos must work that it's instant. It doesn't go through the girl. It goes directly to the father. The actual Kiddushin goes to the father. It doesn't go to the girl. The father stands in place of the girl and gets the Kesef Kiddushin. And if you learn it that way, then the equation must be absolute. How can the father get the money for something he doesn't own? It's not as if the girl did it. The father got the money directly. And we'll expand this and explain this next week. To get deeper understanding as to the difference between the Talmid HaRashba and the Tosfos. But where we're going to is that according to the Talmid HaRashba, we do separate ownership and revenue. It is true that if you are the owner, you get the revenue, but there are times where an individual can get revenue even though they don't own. And here's an example where the girl owns the rights to be Mekadesh herself, but if she is Mekadesh herself, she needs to pass the revenue on immediately to the father. And according to Tosfos, who holds no, the two are inextricably bound. If you get the revenue, you are the owner. So when the father gets the revenue, he doesn't get it from the girl, he gets it from the husband. He gets it directly. The trade is between the husband and the father, which means the father is the owner of that right. According to the Talmid HaRashba, the trade is between the girl and the husband, and the father gets the benefit as a second step. And I'll explain those two views a lot more clearly and the answer of Rabbi Kiveger and learn out those. So I think in preparation for next week, simply review this week. If you can simply review this week, I'll send you the Talmid HaRashbo. You've got the Tosfos in Ksubis. Simply review this week. Go over the two Tosfos in Ksubis. Remind yourself of the Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Beis that we revisited today. Look at the Talmid HaRashbo that I'll be sending you, and we'll review the whole shiur again next week and take it to finality and to conclusion. But I think that for this week, let's leave it here. So I'll stop the recording, and anybody who wants to ask anything, please feel free to do so.